guys. Welcome back to Be Unemployable.
Hi, guys. It is your favorite business coach and your favorite almost occupational therapist. I may or may not have passed the boards as I speak, but I won't know for another 3 days.
It's a secret.
It's a secret. I retook them, guys. You know how we were talking about this months and months and months ago? I retook those son of a bitches. That son of a bitch. It's one son of a bitch. So we'll see what happens. Anyway.
Sons of bitches. Bumpuses.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to find out. I bet you passed. I know you passed.
I will cry tears of joy if I open up that email and it says that I passed. Like, I will cry tears of joy.
You find out
on the 7th, Friday.
Oh my gosh. So when you guys hear this, we still won't know, but like, we'll know shortly after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So what are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about chronic pain with, if you're neurodivergent, and how they can feed into each other, the science behind it, what you can do about it, and also how it impacts our lives as far as getting the right treatment for it. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, actually. Yeah. So that's coming from a personal place for us, because if you work with me, you know that I have been dealing with migraines for like over a week. Yeah. Well, no, I think that's being dramatic. Close to a week. Mm-hmm. And it's been miserable. And I have chronic pain conditions in general, but this migraine has been a wild one. And everyone I talk to who also suffers from migraines has been having quite a time. So I was like, let's talk about our pain conditions and how they are. The cat is here, so if you hear that, it's Oogie on the mic. But let's talk about our pain conditions and how they impact us when we are neurodivergent.
So I would love to just hear more of like your perspective, because you have that firsthand experience. My experience is more so secondhand, seeing the pain that my mom went through for years as a neurodivergent person as well. But I want to hear more about like how you've noticed how it impacts daily life, especially as an entrepreneur. And did that impact wanting to be an entrepreneur? Like, tell us all the things.
Yeah, for me, it's a huge part of why I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Not only for myself, but because, you know, at the one of the reasons I started my business was because Mason was having health issues. Mm-hmm. And I was like, people just want us to go back to work and forget about people's health issues. That's wild. But it was also like, I would have a health issue and people were like, cool, so you'll be in this afternoon? Or like, when are you going to be here? And I had such a bad migraine issue when I worked in insurance. Actually, was it insurance or was it AT&T? I had this at both places, but I had ended up needing to use FMLA time to take care of my migraines. And it's unpaid at a portion. And that's a real problem when you are a mom, a wife, you know, when you're paying the bills. So realizing that that's something that I was going to be dealing with my migraines in my head and my, you know, at that time, one of my pupils would dilate when I got a migraine, which means I couldn't look at a computer screen because they were CRTs, and that's the ones with the tube behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the kind with the tube when you have a dilated pupil makes it jump all over the place. So like when I was dealing with stuff like that, and I was like, okay, well, I can't work.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, but you can only get short-term disability. So I was like, this isn't going to work for me.
Was this at the time that you were the main breadwinner as well?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So I was like, that was a real problem. And it took only a couple months for them to get them under control, but that's still a couple months of a fraction of your income.
Right. Right.
And that's before I had any diagnosis about, you know, being ADHD or being neurodivergent in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew that it was making me feel crazy.
Remind me when you were diagnosed, Maggie. You've told me many times, but I have ADHD. I keep thinking it was like 2 years ago, but I feel like that's very wrong. It was longer ago than that, right?
Yeah, it was 20. I honestly don't. It was before the pandemic.
Okay.
So I would have to go and look at it was back when I was with the Cleveland Clinic. So okay. I would have to go look. I could tell you what doctor did it, but I don't actually remember what year.
It was, I mean, less than like 6 years ago, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was before the pandemic. It was when the whole reason I was diagnosed or went in for diagnosis is I knew I was, but mm-hmm. I saw myself on video
mm-hmm.
and was alarmed because we were doing Patreon videos for our other podcast
mm-hmm.
that was a lot. It was bigger. We haven't been doing it. It was a couple goals with S&M, but we used to do Patreon videos for it. And I saw I was editing the Patreon video
mm-hmm.
and it was alarming.
Now, what do you say by alarming? Just, it was obvious that you were neurodivergent, like, or did you see something? Okay. Okay.
The way that I was moving, it's the way I move in general. I mean, like anyone who has seen me knows mm-hmm. how I act, but in my mind, I was way cooler. Like I was like slick and like I moved more like a movie star.
Yeah.
And not so much like me. Mm-hmm. So when I saw me on film, I was like, oh, I move just like my son.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and go to the doctor.
Yeah.
This explains why I can't get anything done during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was probably like 17 or 18.
Okay.
2017. Because in 2018 is when we came out with our shirts for the podcast. So that would have been around the time that the Patreon was big.
Okay.
But yeah. So anyway, chronic pain. yeah, I've had migraines though since high school. And then I've had my back problems since pregnancy. So my oldest is 21.
Wow.
So I've had back problems since for 21 years. And it's just a bummer. I mean, like the state of Ohio has medical marijuana, so I qualify for that for both ways, like for both my back pain and my migraines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take any other pain. I take Maxalt for my migraines and I am on a daily preventative for my migraines, but mm-hmm. I don't take any kind of like opiates or anything. Like I'm pretty much just out here freeballing it every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was real interested to hear from your perspective
mm-hmm.
as someone who went to school for science-y stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me about any correlation. Like what do you know? Because I don't know shit about this. I just know it is a lived experience.
So pain actually like changes your brain. So it starts off as this thing where something actually hurt you, and which is why it creates the pain signal to your brain, because obviously your body wants to protect itself. Your brain wants to protect your body. But what happens when you have chronic pain is that pain signal actually will fire when nothing is irritating it. So you will constantly be getting the pain signals. You're going to be suffering, even though your body is no longer at risk of, you know, deteriorating, being harmed, which when you feel like you're completely powerless over the pain and in your body, and you can't control the stimulus anymore, because like you said, marijuana can only go so far, and opiates, I mean, shit, if anyone knows my story, my mom passed away because she was overdosed on a fentanyl patch. So anyway, a lot of these people are managing or trying to manage their pain on their own and not able to, which causes depression, because you can only be limited for so long to be able to engage in daily life before you start to have a mental health condition such as depression. And depression being often comorbid with ADHD, we already have a hard time doing things because of executive dysfunction. Add in depression, I mean, there's not a motivation in the world that's going to help you to get things done if you're dealing with depression due to chronic pain and ADHD. And then not to mention, we are both autistic, and autism, well, ADHD and autism, we have certain sensory needs, and we can get a freaking migraine just because it's too bright outside. And the world that we live in does not put neurodivergent people front and center. So oftentimes our sensory needs are not met, which causes chronic pain that can create the feedback loop of depression, which makes ADHD and autism symptoms worse. And then it goes on and on. So that's like the Spark Notes version of the science and why it truly sucks. Like, you are not crazy if your chronic pain is debilitating and is causing you to have depression.
So that is horrible.
Yeah.
Everything you just said, I mean, it's validating.
Yeah.
But it also makes you want to never leave the house again, or makes me want to. I can't speak for everybody. What do you recommend as a professional for people who are seeing that happen? Like, so occupational therapy, for people who don't know, and I'm telling you this as someone who is not a professional, but as someone who understands now through Jamie, is from getting to like from point A to point B when there is something standing in the middle of point A and point B. Right. So what do you recommend for people who are like, I would love to get to point B, but there's like a crazy roadblock in the way?
So the first thing we want to look at is the pain. Where is the pain coming from, or where did it originate? Which is easier said than done, because a lot of people are like, I don't fucking know, I've had it for 20 years. But if you know that you're more likely to get a migraine after being on the computer for like 5 hours, is there a way to break up your workday to where you're doing a couple hours in the morning and a couple hours at night? If you have lower back pain, is that pain due to sitting at a desk that is not ergonomic? If that's the case, then we have to look at having maybe a different chair for you. Maybe your desk is not at an appropriate height to where you can be ergonomic, to where your lower back isn't getting that support. So first of all, looking at where did the pain originate and what environmental supports can you put in place for that? Is it going to make it go away? Abso-fucking-lutely. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it will, but it could. Environmental supports is pretty much always like the first place that you're going to look when you're having problems, period.
I think that's a really good idea, because what I've found, this is what works for me, is like when I am having a migraine, we'll talk about that first, because that's the whole reason I'm on this topic.
Yeah.
I have to be in a dark room. So what's for me, my migraines are light based. They're very light sensitive. And I can do calls, but they can't be well lit. Like, I can do my work calls.
Okay.
And I can do them very short. Like, I can do just a little bit and then I have to take a break. Or I can do absolute, like, I can do that, or I can do nothing. Those are the two options.
Right, right. Yeah.
I can do short calls, or I have to wrap my head. And I find I'm not the only person who does this.
Mm-hmm.
I wrap my head in a blanket, like a real thin, like fleece blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that makes me feel remotely better.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I thought I was just like crazy town, crazy pants.
Oh,
when
no.
I did it. And then when I told other people, I was like, no, I like wrap my head in a blanket. Like I cover my eyes and I wrap my head. And people are like, I do that too. And I was like, it's so interesting because I've never seen anyone do it.
Yeah.
But it's like our instinct to try and like you would wrap a wound.
Right.
And that's how I work around my pain is like, I will. But if I'm staying awake with it, I cannot. I used to keep black fitted sheets over my windows. Like I would put them up on my curtain rods.
Yeah.
And that's how I kept light out. Now, obviously, blackout shades are a thing. But back in the early 2000s, they weren't as accessible. And that's what I was dealing with.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm curious because as a graphic designer, are you able to do design work and put your computer at like the lowest bright level, or is that not bright enough for you to continue working?
That is such a good question. Thank you for asking that because I do that. So that is not something that you want to do. Like if I was editing photos, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I already know my color palette and I already know like all of this stuff's done, that's exactly what I do.
Okay.
My phone is always at the low, even when I don't have a headache.
Yep.
It's always at the lowest setting.
Yep.
And my computer is almost always, even without a migraine, almost at the lowest.
Yeah.
When I'm doing colors, when I'm doing like photo editing, when I'm doing those kind of things, that's when I fix my light. And I'll do it correctly.
Yep.
But as soon as I'm done with that, I put it back down to low.
Yeah.
So that's an awesome question.
Thanks.
Because I do that. And I do it a lot. Like I adjust my lights a lot on my, on my computer because of that.
Yeah.
And it's really, and we also use the other thing that we do in our house is Sean has an OLED TV.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to change it. So it has a lot of different settings on it as far as brightness. We have to change it to maximum energy savings so that way I can watch it.
Okay.
Because if you leave it on its main setting, it's too bright for my eyes.
Yep.
And we have backlighting on it so that way it's easier on my eyes.
That makes sense.
So we have a lot of like little accommodations around the house for me.
And do you guys use Edison bulbs as well as?
I do in this room and in my bedroom.
Yeah.
This room has them and then the bedroom has them. And then we only do, like, we don't do any overhead lighting.
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean, that's not true. In the kitchen, we have an overhead light, but it's literally just while you're cooking.
Okay. And your back pain, is it lower back? Is it low back pain? Is it your entire back? Like,
I have SI joint dysfunction.
That's
which
right,
is your, like your hips essentially.
Okay.
And then the lower part. So the lower part right by your like hip bones, that's where my stuff's falling apart. And then I also have the vertebrae up by my neck are collapsing. So I have it up high and down low.
Okay. And does the vertebrae up in like your cervical spine, does that affect how you're like sitting at a computer as well? Because I'm already thinking like,
I should be pushed back further.
Uh-huh.
And I should be. So when I was at the ER a couple weeks ago, because my neurologist was afraid I was having a stroke or I'd had a stroke. But it turned out it's a pinched nerve in my neck that was causing this weird stuff going on in my hand.
Yeah.
And these neck stretches have really been helping.
Is that one of the things they prescribe, was the neck stretches?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the way I sit with my neck and the way I look forward. And I mean, mm-hmm. it's all of us on our phones, really, mm-hmm. is jacking up my neck real bad.
Is your computer is at like a good height, right? Like, is it like just
my computer's above? Way the hell up here.
Oh, okay. So to look comfortably at your computer, do you have to jack your head up to look? No, it's pretty comfortable.
I look straight ahead. Okay. And then on my laptop, I move it to wherever I'm sitting.
Okay.
So, but the way I sit when I'm on my laptop is not at all ergonomic.
Okay.
Yeah. When I'm on my laptop, I am like, no wonder my body doesn't work.
Oh, I'm not judging. I'm just like, yeah. Saying this out loud so that people like can think of like little things that they can do.
Yeah.
And there's really creative things we can do at my desk. I have a foot hammock so that it can address that. I want to be ergonomic because I'm very short and I can't find an office chair that literally will fit me. But also to address the sensory needs. So, there's fun little ways to,
I have an ottoman. I have, yeah. And it's a triangle ottoman. So okay. mine's a triangle. So you can put your feet in all different ways.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
And I actually sit, and I don't sit in an office chair. I sit in an armchair, and I mm-hmm. I have the like lumbar support and the butt support. And
yeah.
So like you would add in an office chair, I have mm-hmm. those.
Yeah.
But I have a bigger one because I sit crisscross a lot.
Same.
So I have, yeah. That's why I've got a bigger chair. So that way I could sit that way without it hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do have, like, my comfort is a priority, because for years it wasn't. When I worked for other people, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I was always in like the $19.99, you know, $20 chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always in pain, and it was, yeah. it was always a big deal. But now that I'm in charge of that, you know, and I've been in charge of it for years, I've switched out chairs. I've found like what works best for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have a, you know, $220 keyboard that I've been using now for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge difference.
Well, yeah, because you also have, is it rheumatoid arthritis or?
No, I just have the good old fashioned wear and tear.
Okay.
Osteoarthritis.
Oh, okay.
I just have the normal arthritis. I'm not that fancy. I mean,
I've been studying so much that like you forget where exactly you right. heard it. Like, I know the training
for that. I have OA, not RA.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a normie. I'm not fancy. So yeah, it's just that's largely my hands. And that's why when my left hand started going numb, I was like, well, this is how I die.
Yeah.
I'll just stroke out, I guess. No. And they were like, no, it's not that. It's just your neck. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Perfect. Awesome.
That's what I was hoping would happen.
So with your new keyboard, so obviously the arthritis, I know it really affects your hands. We've talked about that before. Do you ever get carpal tunnel syndromes, or have you ever gotten carpal tunnel?
Do wear the gloves. I don't have any at my desk right now, but mm-hmm. I do have compression gloves.
Okay.
Those help, but that's about it for me.
Okay.
Like, I don't have the pain going up my arms or anything.
Okay. Anyone pretty listening, good. If you do have carpal tunnel syndromes or like symptoms, because I know it's very common. First thing you're gonna want to look at is, can your arm rest on your desk comfortably at 90 degrees? If your wrist is up slightly, and that's how you're typing, it's gonna affect the nerve that is gonna create carpal tunnel syndrome. So look at your desk, specifically how tall your desk is, if you're having those symptoms.
I used to work with a guy who ended up having surgery because his was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's no joke.
No.
So if you're in pain, your body's telling you something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's not in your head.
No.
Don't let anyone tell you that.
No.
Like something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's not okay. So that's important, and that's really validating to know, because that's something that I've often, when I was younger, gone to communicate pain and felt like it wasn't heard or understood. And that's why for so long they would call me, doctors called me a symptom minimizer, because I would be like, no, I'm fine.
Right.
I'm fine. And it wasn't until I was older that I started being like, I'm really miserable.
Right.
Like I might be dying. And they'd be like, okay, like now we'll look at it. And by the time they looked at my hips, they were like, so your legs don't work.
It's right.
Like, oh, I know. I mean, I was put on bed rest at 20 years old because of my hips. And then like I ignored it for 20 years.
Were you pregnant at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was my hips. Like I had to wear a band to try and keep my hips together. So, but then I ignored it and I was just like, oh, I'm always in pain. That's so weird. I can't sit on hard chairs. That's so weird. And it wasn't until I had sciatica down both legs that I was finally like, I should go to a doctor.
Yeah.
And they were like, girl, your legs don't work.
Right.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Isn't that crazy?
So like chronic pain, when you're neurodivergent, we gaslight ourselves into thinking that is normal because so much of our experience isn't shared.
Right. And if all we have are neurodivergent friends, they're also always in chronic pain. And then we think that that's fucking normal.
So, you know, get help if you're in pain, because it's not, your body is telling you something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I've got. What about you?
I won't go on a soapbox about the medical system, but what I will say is that when you're neurodivergent, you're probably going to go in with maybe a more flatter affect, and it's not going to be a very like big outward presentation of emotions. So what can be helpful is with this pain, write down the pain and activities that you notice the pain and how it affects your daily life. So that when you go into the doctor, it's not like, hey, I have pain. It's like, no, I have pain. These are the activities where I'm noticing it. So that like do a little bit of homework before you go in, because it's really easy for them to dismiss pain symptoms because it is subjective and there's not a way to measure pain other than what you are self-reporting. So do your best when you're self-reporting.
And also the other thing that I wanted to touch on, and I completely forgot about until just now, is the financial side of things. This is something that isn't talked about enough, especially as entrepreneurs, because as entrepreneurs, we're like, hey, money's renewable, just go make more. And yeah, I still agree with all of that, right? But I also need you guys to know that you are seen with the huge expenses that come along with having any kind of chronic anything.
Yeah, and let's talk about how differently you're treated if, say, you're on a government-based insurance versus a private insurance. I saw firsthand people treated my mom like she was a peasant, and now with being on my husband's insurance, treated very well.
Right.
It's abso-fucking-lutely a thing.
It's just, it's a different situation. You're treated differently. You have additional expenses. And when you tell somebody that, hey, I have a migraine versus like, hey, I have a broken arm or a broken leg, yep, or I have cancer or I have whatever, mm-hmm, you're treated differently.
Yep.
Invisible illnesses are treated differently than visible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's horrible. I mean, mm-hmm, that's whatever, but it's just something that we need to acknowledge and address because we're dealing with it too.
Yeah.
And just because we're not saying it doesn't mean we're not dealing with it. And yeah, I still am a big believer in just go make more money. But it's not always as easy as that. Mm-hmm. And I don't subscribe to toxic positivity.
Oh, no, fuck that. And it's so hard for so many people to get the adequate medical care. Yeah. It's so hard, even if you have good insurance or say even have the means, sometimes it's still hard to find a fucking doctor that will listen to you.
And find a doctor that's close enough, that has openings, that mm-hmm takes you seriously, that doesn't view yeah you as an expert. That's yeah a problem that a lot of people have. Because doctors, therapists, all of them are just people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you come in and you know what you're talking about, they defer to you. Huh. No, don't defer to your patient.
Yeah, no shit.
So these are all issues. And then if you want to look at the finances, there's medical supplies, medical fees, prescriptions,
mm-hmm,
you know, co-pays, all of this.
Yep.
So this isn't a bitch session. It's to let you know that, you know, we see you.
Yeah, we see you. We 100% see you.
Yeah. And like, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it. And we know that choosing entrepreneurship because of this situation is the right choice. And it's, we understand it and we get it. And we're in your corner.
Yeah. I would imagine there's a lot of people listening to this right now that have chosen entrepreneurship, but maybe had to quit their full-time job to pursue it further. And they're in that space of, okay, we're at either pre-revenue or early revenue, maybe had to give up their health insurance to be able to pursue that dream. Like, I just want to say, I really, really see you. We both really, really see you.
I will say that I never gave up insurance. I purchased insurance the second, you know, Sean quit his job. I purchased mm-hmm insurance.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we're in the US, and the best thing about the Affordable Care Act is that you can't not be covered for your pre-existing conditions now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what makes taking that leap into entrepreneurship so much easier.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal. I worked in insurance when that act passed.
Oh, really?
So that was a big deal. And I'm a huge supporter of it for that fact.
I watched the interview of Obama with, who's the guy that had a nighttime talk show for fucking ever? He's a white guy, white hair.
We're all white guys.
I know. Is it?
Don't say Jay Leno. Don't say Jay Leno. I hate that guy.
I don't. Hang on.
Jay Leno's got that jaw for 40 years. Talks like this. Hey guys. Jay Leno.
No, it wasn't Jay Leno. No, it was not Jay Leno. This is gonna bother me. I'll tell you guys in the next episode like who it was, but I just don't understand how we went from someone who was as poised and well-spoken as Obama to Trump. Like, I don't
get it. Racists.
Oh,
that's how.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you for clearing that up. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
I solved it.
I won't have to spend my entire day trying to problem solve that. I really appreciate you.
If you have any questions, you just come to me and I will clarify. I'm so smart. It's hard. That's why I get so many migraines. It's because my brain is working overtime to solve all these problems.
I mean, honestly, overstimulation. We joke, but we're not fucking joking on the same token.
You're like, actually, science says.
I'm like, actually, I can tell you. Yeah.
It's because you're so smart.
Yeah. So if you were scrolling on TikTok for 4 hours and you have a headache, it's probably due to overstimulation and sensory.
Oh, God damn it.
Shit too. I know. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I spent a lot of money on this degree. I might as well tell you guys some cool things I learned from it.
You're like, speaking of money that we spent. All right. Well, I think that's actually it for today's episode, since we tried to end it earlier and then we were like, oh, we have ADHD, hold on,
yeah,
we thought of something.
Hang on, guys, we have to cover the medical system and racist real quick.
Yeah. real quick. Let me tell you everything that's wrong with America. hold on. Okay, all right, this is it though.
Okay,
for real. All right, for real this time.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Maybe if I can find that record thing. Okay, no, for real this time. Bye.
Okay, bye.